Support for WSJ comes from Comcast, committed to improving your customer service experience with two-hour appointment windows, including nights and weekends, because they should fit into your life, not the other way around. Learn more at Xfinity.com/service.
Diving in to Apple WWDC 2017 right now.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York, and underway right now is Apple's annual Worldwide Developers Conference, a gathering of 5,300 developers who create the app central to the iPhone and other devices. Monday marks day one of the big event. Joining us, two of the journal's editors from the WSJ Tech Bureau, Brian Fitzgerald and Wilson Rothman. Let's not waste any time here. hot off the press, this news of HomePod, Apple unveiling a smart speaker. Tell me all about it. Everyone is obsessed.
I don't know, Wilson. I just saw a really expensive music speaker.
And I saw what I think is Apple's next strategic move away from the iPhone.
Oh, whoa. Hey. Okay, gentlemen, discuss.
Well, look, here's my take, right? Like, what Apple likes to do historically is wait for everyone to show their cards, right? Everyone gets their products out on the table. Amazon creates its Echo and all its iterations of it. You know, Microsoft shoves some Cortana into a Harman speaker. That we haven't seen yet, right? And then Apple comes along and it says, hey, nice job, everybody, but here's how we're going to wrap all that together, make it better, and here's our extra additional play on it. I didn't see that this time.
Right. I mean, the thing that we got to remember about what Amazon did is they created a new kind of computer. And Amazon absolutely paved the way for this. And Apple's coming in, yes, very late, but they're bringing basically an iPhone brain to a speaker like
this.
It
had some, they talked about the chip, right?
They showed off a chip that's the same chip.
They talked about airflow inside of it.
Oh, yeah, airflow. Yeah. So, yeah, they showed a lot of cutaways that were intimidating looking.
So it seems like it's a mixed bag here, though, because, I mean, on the one hand, this is, Apple needs to do this, obviously. This is where the market's at. On the other hand, did they do enough to make their way into this at this time?
Tanya, I wouldn't even call it a mixed bag. I really think it depends on your perspective.
Okay.
I want something that helps me be more functional. Like, I get angry when I ask my Echo, what do I have to going on today? And it doesn't know how to read my iPhone calendar and tell me. Mm-hmm. So I want that in my life, but I didn't hear that today. I'm sure maybe it will, maybe it won't. Wilson has a different take.
Well, this was a teaser. I mean, obviously, if you're giving someone the brains of an iPhone 6, mm-hmm. of course it's got a calendar somewhere in its future, if not in its present. Apple doesn't really like doing this. They don't like showing off a product that they haven't actually put into mass production. This is the only time they do this kind of, this is a December shipping product that they're talking about in early June.
Yeah, that's
right.
A good point.
So many devices, so little time. The other big buzzword is the iPad Pro. The iPad needed a little bit of excitement. We have a 10.5-inch screen now. What else we got?
Well, as you know, the iPad line went from, it was the darling of the industry.
Yeah.
Then kind of ground to a halt. Amazon sells a ton of $50 tablets, and here you got, Apple chipping away at their price points, but they haven't come down enough to make it, to get those sales up again. Finally, we're getting kind of more of the promise of the iPad than we have in a long time. The two models that they had before now did not do enough to replace a laptop. Suddenly, not only did they introduce a larger screen, 10.5 inches in a 9.7 inch body with the same 1 pound weight, but then they teased a set of interactions, including a dock, app switcher, drag and drop. Finally, we have a file manager.
That's my favorite. This magical piece of glass. Let's talk about the file management structure.
Yeah, exactly. 7 years, people have been waiting to find, where the heck's all my stuff?
No, but I think you hit on something that's significant there. As far as it being a magical piece of glass, everyone who wanted one bought one, and it's still pretty good and have no reason to change. And as far as it replacing a laptop or a computer, it's not good enough yet. And Apple is trapped in those two worlds. Mm. I'm less religious about some of the stuff. I think people, if they can see a marginal change in the form factor, they'll go out and replace. And I thought a slimmer bezel is exactly the kind of thing that will nudge someone who likes their iPad to replace their iPad.
Bigger screen, in the same body. Yeah. That's
less
obviously
bezel. Less of that.
Less bezel. Less,
yeah, which is 20% less bezel.
But it's also an admission on Apple's part that they got to make this thing a lot more like a Mac to get people to switch. And by the way, $649 for a 64 gigabyte, that's a reasonable price for something that's got some very nice specs.
We're speaking to the Wall Street Journal's Brian Fitzgerald and Wilson Rothman about the biggest takeaways from Apple's WWDC event. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
This podcast is sponsored by HSBC. When it's time to take your business international or take your international presence to a whole new level, HSBC has the network to connect you to the world. Search HSBC International to learn more.
Thanks for joining us. So why don't we round today off with another important, very important platform, iOS 11. We need to power all of these iPhones and iPads. What can we expect from iOS 11?
You know, Wilson and I were talking about this earlier. As they were going through iOS 11, I thought, man, nothing really bowled me over in terms of something I haven't experienced in my life yet. And the thing I had brought up was the ability to send money to another person using just iMessage.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, I have Square Cash and I have Venmo and this and that and the other thing. Everybody has iMessage. It's just that easy. You don't have to pull up another app or whatnot.
Well, yeah. I mean, everyone with an iPhone has iMessage. And, of course, next time I owe Fitzy money, he's going to change his tune on this.
Pretty much daily.
Yeah, Wilson owes me $5 for that sandwich. All right. You know, another thing that Apple's doing, not first to the party on this, is do not disturb while driving. It's a do not disturb feature that actually kind of guesses when you're in motion and suggests that maybe you want to turn it into a do not disturb. You can, one mode is, it'll automatically text someone, I'm driving, you know, get back to me. But it'll also say, if this is urgent, you can say urgent in the text and it'll ring through.
Which is a nice little feature. Nice to see Apple throw that in.
Well, there's a lot more options on Android because of the way Android's set up. I will say the other thing that we don't really get a full sense of, but they teased it a lot today, is Siri. Siri has more contextual awareness than ever before, both inside the device and across devices. Apple's done stuff with that before, and it's been kind of underwhelming. But they are slowly but surely working their way towards something that Google's done. But Google does it by collecting a lot of data, as we all know and discuss. Apple's trying to do that without collecting as much data. So they're syncing Siri across devices with encryption, and they're not, it's end-to-end encrypted. So they're not collecting the data on you. They're trying to guess what you're doing using their big server.
And this is Apple's biggest challenge. It's going to come down to artificial intelligence, machine learning, and how they have an impact on your life. And right now, if you use Google products, they are just better for your life. And Apple's saying they're also trampling on your privacy.
Right.
And that's Apple's challenge, is to get there with the services, but try to maintain their differentiation, which is the privacy. I'm not sure that they got there. I thought the speaker, the HomePod, would be their way to show more of the Siri capabilities.
They did make a privacy statement. They said they're not listening, they're not sending stuff, they're waiting, and they can tell on the device when you say, hey Siri, and then they start.
But I think the Echo, you know, doesn't record anything unless it's listening for that word, right?
There's a lot of, I mean, Echo also uses encryption, there's a lot of things, but Apple's really trying to get out in front and say, this thing is not a snoop in your
house. The fact that they even mentioned it while introducing it just tells you how important it is to them.
Exactly.
Well, this has been just a fascinating first look. You guys kind of teased us, so you know, we want our listeners to come back for more. Big Apple event. Wilson, Brian, thank you as always.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Tonya.
Stay with us this week for coverage on all things Apple WWDC 2017. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tonya Bustos, reporting in New York. Thanks for listening.